Today is the 10th of September 2017. This is our 56th Patriya Platform Sutta class. So we are now prepare ourselves for the puja. So compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādhinādhānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmerayā majjhāpamādathāna vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujjhāmi. Dhammaṃ pujjhāmi. Sanghaṃ pujjhāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax yourself, maintain some form of attentiveness. then we will commence our sutta class. We are at page 277. But before we go to page 277, turn to page 1. We will do the verse for opening a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 277. This is the new sutta part. Fatha said, if this is so, then I need only understand the meaning and need not exert myself in reciting the sutta. Isn't that correct? So that was the reply from Fatha. The master replied, what fault does the sutta have that will stop you from reciting it? Confusion and enlightenment are in you. Loss or gain comes from yourself. If your mouth recites and your mind practice, you turn the sutta. But if your mouth recites and your mind does not practice, the sutta turns you. Then he said, listen to my verse. So this part I think is very interesting. For normal practitioners who don't have the understanding after they heard the Six Patriarchs commented, how your nature, you remember? We have two minds. How come your true mind, the original nature, is being clouded? You can't see the true mind. So because of that, Fatha thought, if what you say is so or true, then I need only understand the meaning and need not exert myself to recite the sutta. That's why he not sure. He still want to ask the Six Patriarchs, isn't that correct? It's just like sometimes Kayanamita. But Kayanamita was more funny. So Brother Teo, what must I do? It's the other way around. He did not say, is this correct? He said, so what must I do? This one is more cunning, want me to tell you what to do. Cultivation is not about doing, it's about understanding. As I hear, Fatha make a mistake again. He thought the meaning is more important than that. The meaning is more important is correct, provided you are cultivating. When you cultivate with understanding, you have to understand the meaning, then only you can cultivate. But reciting the sutta is equally important. Do you understand? That's why the Sixth Patriarch replied. He said, it's not the fault of the sutta. What fault does the sutta have that will stop you from reciting it? That is the question he asked Fatha. Then confusion and enlightenment are both in you. You understand this meaning or not, this sentence? Like I always use this word. It's the user of the mind. The form of mind is more important. If the user don't have the understanding, then there is confusion. Understand or not? If the user have the understanding, then there is enlightenment. The sutta is the sutta. Neither right or wrong. Sutta points towards the truth. Sutta are words expounded or proclaimed by enlightened beings. That's the reason why in the early days, you can recall, I always tell you, the reason being why the Mahayana Sutta and the Theravada Sutta is so difficult to understand and penetrate is because these are the discourses proclaimed by enlightened beings. Do you understand? Only the enlightened being can understand. That's why it's so difficult to understand. So the person who have the understanding, he will know how to recite. That's the reason why he said loss or gain comes from you or yourself. He said, if your mouth recite and your mind put it to practice, because when you recite with faith, you will one day understand what you recite. Then you put it into practice, then you turn the Dhamma, which means you really put it into practice. You turn the Sutta or the Dhamma. But if your mouth recite like parroting, and your mind does not put it to practice, means you don't know what you are reciting, then what happened? Huh? What happened? The Sutta turns you, understand? Or? You think you are meditating, you think you are reciting the Sutta. Oh, you think you are practicing, cultivating, like a lot of people do so-called meditation without understanding. You think you cultivate vipassana. Oh, you do jhana, you do meditation, and you have insight and all those things. If you don't know what you are doing, then it's like Huineng say, the Sutta turn you, make you believe you are meditating. It's the other way around. But when you understand, you put it to practice, then you really make use of the Sutta. Then you turn the teaching. Then like the Buddha, the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first turning of the wheel of birth and death. The wheel of life, samsara. So this is the understanding that cultivator must have. Without understanding, you cannot cultivate, you cannot move. So don't be too haste to practice before you understand. Understanding means at least you must have the understanding of the essential teaching, what the Buddha really meant when he mentioned all this. Then only you can put it into practice. Then only you can see the important emphasis of the Buddha. What is it that you are looking for when you meditate? And the Buddha clearly highlight to you in his essential teaching. Dhammapada verse 21 straight away tell you, you have to be heedful. Because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. If you are not heedful, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. So do you want to be dead or alive? Or to have the eternal life? If you want to have the eternal life, then you have to be heedful. So the next inquiry will be, what is heedfulness? And then Dhammapada verse 23. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme Nibbana, or enlightenment in the here and the now. Born free, Nibbana. So if you want to become enlightened, you must be constantly meditative and ever mindful. And this is what heedfulness is all about. Because the two is the same. So your first task is to train your mind to be mindful. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate. Constantly meditating. So you have to understand what constitutes meditation according to the Buddha. Then you look at the essential teaching, the fourth noble truth. The Buddha make it very clear. There is this noble eightfold path. If you are to cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and now. So this noble eightfold path is the ultimate meditation. That is also the reason why at the Klang talk, after I finished the 37 factor enlightenment, then Brother Gan asked one question through Brother Teo. He said, Brother Teo, in the Parinibbana Sutta, before the Buddha passed away, there was a last convert that came and asked the Buddha, is it really true that there will be enlightened beings? What are the criteria for there to be enlightened being, Aryas? And the Buddha told this guy, he said, as long as the world is in our universe, our existential world, there exists this noble eightfold path, the world will not be short of enlightened being. And straight away, Brother Gan said, Ratio, like that, cultivate noble eightfold path, and now lah, no need the rest of the 37 factors of enlightenment. I say, if you understand, it's correct. But if you don't understand, you think noble eightfold path is different from the rest, then you are in trouble. Because within noble eightfold path, all the other teachings are there. The first three right view has all the other teachings. Then the Sabbasati has all the, what they call? Satipatthana practices. Then when it comes to the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, the last category of practice is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And in the Four Noble Truths, there is the Noble Eightfold Path. There is the Four Right Effort. Seven factors of enlightenment, everything is there. That's why I say you don't understand. Then you go and divide. Oh no, Brother Teo, comfort more. Noble Eightfold Path enough. No need to do Four Foundation mindfulness. Then, what happened to you? Well, you do without understanding. You quote me, no? Correct, no? Yeah, I say correct. No? Yeah, the Buddha also told the last convert, Subhadda, I think. So, they were so confused. They say, don't know how to go about cultivating or practicing. Well, some say this, some say that. And to be very blunt, it's like you are saying the Buddha lies. On the one side, he said 37 factor, then now he said Noble Eightfold Path. But when you don't understand, you will get yourself confused. Even right effort in Noble Eightfold Path is the same. You see, Buddha teach effort, you must use effort, but you don't understand. Effort is needed when you do thought-based meditation. The four right effort is required to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood that, or living that you have arisen. Then the right effort to prevent all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action from arising. This one need effort. Then the effort to cultivate virtue, kindness. This one need effort. But when it comes to meditation, it's about mindfulness. No more effort. It's just awareness, sati. The effort requires the thought process. Effort, there is a movement. That's why you use thought. You arise the right effort to cultivate the right thought. Abandon the wrong thought. That's why the use of thought is important. So when it comes to using thought, you need effort. That's how virya comes into place. And virya is spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity. It's the energy inside that moves you to develop the cultivation, where you see the importance of it. That's why the word perseverance, diligent, good meaning, come out. And you have to determine with faith to arise this. Because through faith, you understand who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say, when he was born at that time, he was the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And his teaching is so unique, so beautiful, so meaningful. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. So when you start to understand how unique a being the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching or Dhamma is, you will have very strong faith, unshakable faith, great respect and gratitude towards him. And that understanding will drive you to have the virya to cultivate. That's how your spiritual faculty get developed. Then when you cultivate, sati will come. Then when sati arise, if you know the essential teaching, you cultivate with understanding, you need to stabilize this sati. And this is what my sharing is all about, all this one. And you have to train your mind and meditate until that sati is very stable, until it becomes balance, power. That in the midst of life, you will have this sati, ever mindful. Unless you can train your mind until it is that level of stability, you cannot develop the daily mindfulness, the sati patthana, the sati sampajana, and all those things. You cannot really insight into phenomena and awaken, because you can never be heedful. To be heedful, the first prerequisite is to be ever mindful. That also haven't developed. So how can you expect awakening and enlightenment? Unless your past is very different, very special. Then like Hui Ning, the moment he hear truth, he awaken. So these are the important key understanding that you need to develop. And make sure you have this understanding clearly established in your nature. Then when you cultivate with this understanding, you are focused. You know what to do in the name of meditation. You are not distracted. You don't just gullibly believe what people say. People tell you to note, you note. People ask you to chant, you chant. People ask you to focus, concentrate, you go and do all those things. But you don't know what you are doing. And they just tell you, this is meditation. You do long enough, one day you will be enlightened, and you gullibly believe. And the worst is, you go and carry the gullible belief that people say, hey, that person is an arahant, no. Or what? Jnana, what jnana, no. Then because of that belief, you become gullible. You think that person do this method, if you follow him, do the same method, you will become like him, become an arahant or what? It's not what he do. It's his understanding, his awakening. So meditation, always remember, is to be developed with understanding. Chanting the sutta is the same. You chant without understanding, you cannot put into practice, then it's the other way around. You are wasting your time, parroting. Then the sutta turn you. You never put the sutta into practice. Yeah. Then we see Hui Ning's poem. This one will let you understand very clearly. Yeah. I also don't know what this is. I haven't read. Yeah. Okay, now we read. Hui Ning said, listen to my verse. When the mind is confused, the Dhamma flower turns it. This one you understand by now. When the person who chant is confused, means he don't have the understanding, then the Dhamma flower turn you. The enlightened mind will turn the Dhamma flower. You understand? Here, this word, the enlightened mind, it has a very deep meaning. Because enlightened mind got a few stages of enlightenment. Do you understand? Initially, it's just to understand the essential teaching, the essential Dhamma. Means the mind that understands, when you put the Dhamma into cultivation, then it will turn the Dhamma flower. Yeah. Otherwise, a lot of people will be very confused. But if my mind already understood, have the enlightenment, then why do I have to turn the Dhamma wheel? You understand? So this enlightened mind here refers to the first stage of understanding. Means the first turning and second turning aspect. Which is not penetrative, but you understand the essential Dhamma. Then you know how to put it into practice. That's why the enlightened mind will turn the Dhamma flower. Then reciting the sutta so long without understanding has made you an enemy of its meaning. This is very simple. When you don't have understanding, it becomes the opposite. You cannot penetrate his understanding. That's why you become the enemy of the meaning. Without a thought, your recitation is right. with thought, your recitation is wrong. This one, do you understand? Yeah? This is not easy. Do you understand? How many of you don't understand? Ah, very good. You put up your hand, at least I know. This one I have explained before. Yeah? With a thought, your recitation is right. Without a thought, your recitation is right. So when you chant, what is chanting? Yeah? Reciting and chanting. Chanting and sutta recitation. You remember? The first thing I advise you is what? You must know what you are doing in the name of chanting or reciting sutta. So what is the purpose of you reciting the sutta? Come, it's done. What is your purpose? Based on your understanding. Okay, to develop faith, to have peace of mind. To develop faith. Yes, when you have faith, your mind is very calm and very composed. Mind is very calm and composed because of the faith. Okay? So to develop the faith, to develop faith or peace of mind. To develop faith or peace of mind. Okay, what else? What else? Samadhi. To develop a focus. To develop samadhi. Or focused mind. Or an unwavering mind. Means the mind is collected and unwavering. What else? You have to develop understanding of the sutta so that you are constantly reminded of the sutta. So, to develop understanding of the sutta. Or the sutta. What else? To cultivate merits, isn't it? Because the Mahayana believe if you recite the sutta, it has a lot of merits. Then the most important one is what? To cultivate what? To cultivate what? The five spiritual faculties. And this is the most important. The five spiritual faculty is what you are trying to develop. That's why, if you can recall in the Heart Sutta under the appendix last time, we had a sharing, and somebody asked me, because they doubt Mahayana Sutta, they say, Brother Teo, just by chanting, can you become enlightened? By chanting, there is no Noble Eightfold Path, is there? How can you be enlightened? You go and read that note, you will understand. And what is chanting? Chanting is to develop the most important, this five spiritual faculty. When the five spiritual faculty is there, what will happen to you? You will not have mental hindrance. This is what the essential Dhamma is all about. Then you will know how to meditate. Then you will know how to develop the sati, samadhi,
and panya, wisdom. Then you can awaken. Then the seven factors of enlightenment, everything will come about. What you need is spiritual faculty for you to be in the meditative state, to be ever mindful. Do you understand? Then what did I say? You have to chant until what happened? Ah, when there is nobody chanting, means the awareness and the vibration become one. Is there a thought there? There is no thought. But when you are actively creating a thought, I am reciting the sutta, I am developing the merit, the atta is there, the self-delusion is there, the thought is actively doing the meditation, then it becomes thought-based. Do you understand? That's why when mindfulness is there, it's just an awareness of the chanting. The true mind is just aware of the chant, and finally there is no one chanting. But the vibration just arises, and the awareness is just revealed. And that is what chanting is all about. That when that thing happens, that sati, the awareness, if he want to understand that sutta, he will understand it profoundly. Because with sati and samadhi, you can penetrate all dhamma. These are true. And the moment you hear truth, you receive truth, you will awaken. You will penetrate. That's how Mahayana chanting and sutta recitation, if done with the faith, that stir and spur the virya. Because when your faith is very strong, it will spur you to cultivate. The virya will arise. Then when you chant until sati arise, means you chant until no one is chanting, the awareness becomes continuous. But you continuously chanting and say, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. If you don't believe me, you go and do. Within sometime less than a day, even you stop chanting, that chanting is there. You understand? How many of you experienced that before? Even at the camera, when they do the Fa Hui or whatever, you follow them, because they are chanting, you just silent, your awareness is with the vibration. That is what sati is all about. It's just aware. And there's nobody inside there. And you are continuously aware. When you are continuously aware, there is no thought. No thought means what? Your true mind arises. And that's how you can develop the ability to be ever mindful. That's why they constantly recite until the spiritual faculty becomes so strong. Because their faith already very strong. As a Mahayana, you have faith in the Buddha, in Kuan Yin, in all the great beings. Then their faith drives you. Then you chant until sati is there, very stable throughout the day, until it stabilizes to become samadhi. Then when there is sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, you can insight into it. You will understand many things. Then, as you go through life in the daily mindfulness, the four foundations, they will cultivate, they will see their thought, their mental intention. Then they will understand what they recite and chant, what constitutes evil, tansansi. They will see inside their own form and mind. And that is what meditation is supposed to be. So if you don't do all this chanting and all those things, which are the Pure Land practice, if you do pure Theravada, what must you do? You have to be like them, ever mindful, you understand, throughout the day. But you don't have the chanting to hold your mind. So what must you do? You have to meditate until your mind enters sati, you understand? Until your mind is in pasati, the silent mind. That's why not until you meditate, until your object of meditation all become very subtle, like no more movement, then your mind is in sati. Then everything is in sati. All your movement activity is in sati. You can experience that in the retreat. Many people experience that. Even Brother Chia, the Singapore guy, after the second day or third day, after he questioned me for the first 1.5 day, then finally he already convinced. he came and request for the teaching. He pay respect, he asked for forgiveness, he requested for the teaching. Then I say, okay, you can come, because he asked for extra class. I say, after lunch, we're supposed to start at 2, you come at 1:30. And 1:30 he came. Then I was sitting on the chair, as usual. Then I say, okay, sit down. He said, no, brother. He said, you sit down. Then first thing, before he even allowed me to talk, he asked for forgiveness, he paid respect first. Then after that, I say, okay, now you listen. Then I draw that triangle, then I explain to him about the cultivation. Then I explain to him why you have to do the lying down meditation. Because he was in energy field, very strong, his concentration, his jhana and all those things very strong. I said, you have to relax. Then after he questioned until he understand, at first he thought everybody was sleeping and snoring. That's why he dare not do. He refused to do. But later on he went and do, then he heard his own snoring. That gave him faith, where I have been saying those things. Then after that he just relaxed into it silent, then everything went in, the energy all melted. He was lucky because the condition there was very conducive. And the nature, everything, maybe the timing also. Then all of a sudden he became very quiet, very still. Then in his own word later on he reported, it was throughout the day that mindfulness never moved away from him, like he don't want to talk. Even when he down there eating, everything, fully aware. How can he just do that? That was the first retreat he came. Last time he has to hold on to the concentration to be mindful. But after I teach him how to relax and silent, he can do it in the midst of life itself. In the free mind state, he can be aware. That's the reason why he progressed very fast. After that, he started to understand the Heart Sutta, all those things. He has to thank Brother Song. Well, Brother Song was the one that managed to talk to him and tell him to attend. Then after he attend, he loved that book, just like what Brother Song went through, the Heart Sutta book. Everything is inside there, the teaching. Then he starts to develop the appreciation of it, the understanding of it. It's like after that retreat, he went back, he became very different. And now he is still developing the understanding, the cultivation. So all this can be done when you have the understanding, when you do it correctly. Otherwise, like him, he was stuck in energy field for very long. And he has a lot of doubt. That's why for the first 1.5 days, those who attend, you know, or you listen to the recording, he questioned me very thoroughly. Like left and right, he thought he cornered me already. But every time I answer him, he got a shock. Then he realized all along he has not developed the understanding. That's why he couldn't penetrate the Dhamma. So now, hopefully by now, you should understand the practice. Not until your sati can reach that level, you don't stand a chance. That's why the Mahayana is the same. They got a lot of Pure Land chanting. They chant throughout the day non-stop, even in their sleep or whatever. Then you have read this book, The Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, which we just released out not long. There is one part where one Kayanamita share. You remember? Initially, she never even dreamed of going this Bodhisattva Way because she said she very contented with Sainthood Way. Then what happened was, after she attended my class, then she started to do all this. Then all of a sudden, one day, something happened. And she connect. Then the chanting of Kuan Yin, the Heart Sutta, the whatever Pali chanting and all those things, Great Compassionate Mantra, keep on chanting in her heart now, by itself now, for a few days now. And she was in tears. Then after that, something moved inside, and she wrote to me to request for the Bodhisattva Way and all those things. How can it happen? It's because in the past, she has this affinity with Kuan Yin's nature. Then there is condition this line, it connects then this whole thing came back. And also, there are causes and conditions for this teaching to come out. That's how simultaneously during that time, many Kayamita wrote to me about this Bodhisattva way, inquiring into this teaching. That was end of 2014. Then after that, I think you should thank Paramasuri. He requested for the beginning, the first week of 2015 January. I remember it's the 2nd of January 2015, to have a special sharing on this Bodhisattva way. That time it was an informal one, because I didn't open to all. I only wrote to those who have the affinity, who wrote to me, and by word of mouth. Then we had a special sharing. And that was how this book came about. After that, we had 3 more, because of people's requests and conditions. Then later on, somebody volunteered to transcribe all these 4 talks together simultaneously. Just 2 Kayamita. One of them did 3. One of them from Penang, and I'm glad they did 1. Then Puan Chi from Alastar did 3. Then I went through, I realized, hey, the whole of the essential teaching and understanding is there, and it can be compiled into a book. That's why I decided to put it into 1 copy and did up the book. So these are the causes and conditions behind. And if you read the book, everything about the cultivation, the practice is there. It's not easy. It's not difficult when you have that understanding. What you need is the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance. Is that difficult? It's not difficult. That faith will take you. That sincere mind that doesn't want to know right or wrong, just want to investigate and cultivate with understanding based on what you have developed as faith in the Buddha and his teaching through your own life experience, cultivation, and understanding. And when you see the importance of this, this sasana, you have the condition to have this understanding. You can stabilize it and determine through aspiration or vow for this understanding to be with you life after life. Whenever you arise, you need to come or you have to come. You choose to come or you have to come. This understanding will be there. Then it will benefit you tremendously. Your nature will become different. Then in future, whether there is sasana or no sasana, this right view, this right understanding, this teaching will be there for you, because you have taken the first step, the first stage of Bodhi mind development. You have developed the faith, the sadha, virya, and firm affirmation to go this way, and you take the vow, the basic vow, the 4 basic vow. And this will trigger out the causes and conditions for the Bodhi mind to arise. You plant the seed of Bodhi deep in your consciousness. And because of what you have done with the aspiration, the affirmation and the aspiration for this right understanding, and you ensure that this life you have this understanding very stably developed, so that in future the vow will take effect. The aspiration, the affirmation will take effect. And this vow, this affirmation will also teach you how to break karmic obstruction. It also teaches you how to develop all this right view when you come. So that this understanding will unfold itself. The seed of Bodhi that you have planted, it will nurture, it will flower. Then whether you got sasana or no sasana, this understanding will come. Then whenever you meet truth, you understand where this is your nature. This is what you have cultivated. This is what you have perfected. And as you continue with this cultivation, maybe before the next sasana, your nature is very different already. That's how you can progress very far. And the other thing that I also teach you all is how to create affinity with all the great beings. And when you create affinity with them and you request for their blessing, protection, and guidance, your form and mind will be protected. Their blessing, their guidance will give you the teaching. because of their extensive perfection of wisdom and virtue and vow. Their vow will take you along, their nature will take you along. You only need to have that faith, that sincerity, and flow with it through that understanding. And this way become very, very simple, very easy, because it doesn't really need anything else apart from what I have mentioned in the book. And you don't have to be somebody very special, like what I mentioned in the book. You can be an ordinary cultivator who is very sincere, who has a faith, that's it. Then persevere, just do. Then it will unfold. Then it will take you along. Okay? So now you understand why Hui Ning said, without a thought, your recitation is the right recitation. With thought, your recitation is wrong. So when you want to recite a sutta, you must recite from your heart. Understand that? From your heart means what? Not from the thought. Means with awareness. You are aware of the words. Aware of the sutta. Then you recite and chant until one day the form and mind will come to know that there is no one chanting. It's exactly the same as bowing. I teach you all to do the bowing. You bow until one day when you realize no one is bowing and your awareness and the movement become one, you will understand what sati is. Then after that, everything you move is in sati. All your action, all your movement, your mind and body as one. Then everything you see, specific phenomenal awareness, the sati and the phenomenal move as one. Every moment of hearing is like that. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, talk, it's all like that. That's how you can be with the moment of perception, the moment of contact, the moment of consciousness. It will not move. That awareness will stay there. Then if you want it to move, it will move. Otherwise, it will stay there. Because your mind that has entered the sati is different. That true mind is very, very different. Yeah. That true mind, when it manifests, you become so beautiful. Yeah. In the five stages of Bodhi mind development, when you can come to realize your true mind clearly, you are actually at the third stage of Bodhi mind development. So that true mind, initially most cultivators will have a glimpse of what this is. Then until you become ever mindful, then you will start to understand what that true mind is. But you have to develop the stability, the understanding, because wisdom need to mature before that stability of mind set in. That's the reason why the last factor of enlightenment is upekha, equanimity of mind. Upekha need to be born of wisdom. Upekha born of samadhi or concentration, one-pointedness or energy field, is not the real upekha. It's not enlightenment factor. It's similar mind state. But all the five mental hindrances, the defilement, they are all suppressed. It's not a free mind. That's the reason why wisdom has to arise. Then that mind will have samadhi. And samadhi together with wisdom become equanimity, upekha. Samadhi without wisdom is just samadhi, collectedness and unwavering. But the moment wisdom connects to it, the last factor of enlightenment, upekha, arises. Then that time, you don't need samadhi for the mind to be unwavering or collected. That true mind, the free mind, is always like that, unmoving, tas-tas, unmoving. That's the reason why when I share, I used to tell you all, inside, no movement at all, nothing. That pure nature is just like that. Then who share? Who teach? Who proclaim all this truth? There is nobody inside there. Do you understand? But because it's connected to the form and mind, and this form and mind is the vehicle and the tool. That's how it can develop the third body, which they call the Dhammakaya. The form in mind that speaks the Dhamma, that shares the Dhamma. And this form in mind is not me. That's why that nature is different. It's not a being. It cannot come out. So all this understanding, not until you realize it yourself, is not easy to comprehend. But the moment you understand, all this becomes very easy. I believe the Mandarin is a lot better. Because the English word I read, not so, it doesn't describe the meaning so deeply, so clearly. You can read to me the Mandarin. Read to me the Mandarin. I read the English. You cannot understand the deep meaning. Because the English, without a thought, your recitation is right. What is, if I don't explain to you, you really cannot understand. Maybe pass the mic to Alicia. Let Alicia read. Alicia read. Alicia spent a lot of time together his song, reading this six page Platform Sutta and the Heart Sutta.
Hello. 无念念即证，有念念成邪，有无俱不记，常遇白牛车。
Thank you so much. So different, Those who understand Mandarin, when you listen, it's so different. Because Mandarin has this type of expression which is very suitable for Dhamma. Chuan. So different, The English word turn. The two meaning totally different, I tell you. Chuan, I know, chuan. Then there's another one, Wu Nian. The other one is Xie, means wrong teaching, deviation. But here he say, with thought, your recitation is wrong, just wrong. But why Tao, the meaning is very deep, you know. It's like external teaching, you know. Why Tao? Xie Tao, or wrong teaching. Then we go on. With no with and with, no without. Oh, yeah, this style of English word, how to understand? You may write forever in the white ox. That's why if you don't read the Mandarin, you become very confused by this English word. The last part, recite again, the last part. The last part, the last four stanza. Pusu Wunian, after that, after the Wunian. With no, with, and no without.
有念念成邪.
Oh, that one, after that. After that.
有无俱不计, 就是有或者无, 你都不计较.
Yeah.
然后就常遇, 遇就是驾那个白牛车.
我知道, 白牛车. That one got meaning. The 白牛车 is very meaningful. Now we turn to the next page. We read the commentary by Xuan Hua. Then you will understand better. Oh, there is another part, the sutta. I read this one. Fatha heard this verse and weep without knowing it. See? That's how you cry. You understand? And he cried without knowing why he cried. Because deep inside the nature has been looking for this teaching for so long he can't find. At the moment the word was spoken, he achieved a great enlightenment and said to the master, until today, I have never actually turned the Dhamma wheel. Instead, it has turned me. Means, before this awakening, he was doing the recitation without understanding. See? And this Fatha is very senior monk, no? Very, very senior. And have been cultivating very long. That's why he was very proud when he came. Very snobby. When he bowed, his head never touched the ground. Remember? So all this, you will start to develop the understanding. Now we go to the commentaries. If you are confused, your recitation is of no benefit. But if you are enlightened, there is merit. What does this have to do with the sutta? If you recite the sutta and put it into practice or cultivation as well, you are truly reciting the sutta and turning the Dhamma wheel. You set the Dhamma wheel spinning. But if you recite the sutta with a confused mind, the reciting turns you around so that the more recitation you do, the less you understand. After more than 10 years of cultivation, Fatha was still unclear. He was a stranger to the sutta. Without forethought, recitation is the correct recitation. But with arrogant thought and conceit about your merits and virtue, your recitation becomes deviant. You understand the meaning of Xuanhua there? If your aim is only to develop merits, then it is limited to merits. Means out of greed you recite. Greed for what? Greed for merits. You should pay no attention to having or not having merit and recite it as if not reciting. See? Chant until no one is chanting. But he never said that. Do not be attached. And you will always write the white ox card. The white ox card is an analogy of the Bodhisattva way, the Buddha Vahika. The Christian one is what? Deer, a lot of deer one is there. On Christmas Day, they say Santa Claus come with what? The cut of deer, is it? Reindeer, thank you. Yeah, the reindeer. You ask, if I recite as if not reciting, see? Can you do that? Recite until like no one is reciting. Then may I not recite as if reciting? If you don't recite it, you cannot understand the sutta's principle. But it is not as if you were reciting it. The phrase, reciting as if not reciting, not reciting as if reciting, is to instruct you to be unattached. But you cannot say, I will be unattached, and forget about reciting the sutta. Actually, this is Xuanhua's version or explanation. The actual one is different. Like I explained to you just now. You recite until no one is reciting, until your sati become very stable, the clear awareness, the true mind, that one fully aware, then your spiritual faculty all become very clear. That's why ever mindful that sati until it becomes samadhi. Then through that constant recitation, the mental hindrance is to be with your faith, sada virya, sati samadhi. Then during that time, when you go through the sutta, wherever there is true, your true mind, with sati and samadhi, they can penetrate the Dhamma. They can insight into the truth, and they can awaken. That's how suddenly, through that recitation, they understand deeply every word, every stanza. And this is what Mahayana practice or cultivation is all about. Recitation is not just recitation. It's to develop the spiritual faculty. But when you don't try to know, you just recite until that awareness and the sutta become one. Then there is no one reciting. Then reciting is like not reciting. then everything falls into place. All of a sudden, that form and mind will understand. It will awaken. That's the reason why I say when you meditate, don't try to know. Just do. Until the daily mindfulness becomes very stable. Then throughout the day, everything you do, all action, all movement, like sati sampajana, with clear comprehension, just aware. Then all of a sudden, that silent mind will awaken. And when it awakens, it just understands. And after it happens, when you reflect and recollect, you will come to this understanding. No wonder in the past, I have been doing it wrong. That's why all these are thought-based, cannot awaken. But when you do until there is no thought, like meanings, explanation, then that real recitation bring forth the true mind, the spiritual faculty that can understand spiritual teaching, then it will awaken. So this is what meditation is all about, the real cultivation, not what you think. Then now, if you can recall all the important advice that I give you, the pointer, when you meditate, don't try to know. All this become meaningful. Otherwise, in the past, when you hear this, you don't understand. Because everybody who meditate, the curiosity to know is very strong. Understand? Am I doing it correctly? Is this what the Buddha say? Is this what Brother Teo say? Is this what anicchang dukkang anatta is all about? Is this jhana, jnana? Am I now in what stage of jnana and all those things? Is this so and so? Because you listen too much and you have too much knowledge. Then the Mahayana Sutta under the Pure Land, Wu Liang Yi Jing or Wu Liang Shou Jing, you know what they say? So zi zang. What is so zi zang? All knowing is an obstruction to wisdom. Where you think you know. Krishnamurti also say the same. The most dangerous person in this world is the person who say, I know. What you know is knowledge. When you know, you think you know, you cannot learn anymore, understand? You already know. How can I teach you? You are not open to truth. How can you awaken? Where you think you know. That's why suo zi zang. Too much knowledge, no use. Don't try to know. Dhamma knowledge, let it stay in the brain. Remember? Like the computer? Random access memory. You need only you access. You understand? And then the meaning come out. You don't need also you hold on to it. It's like you want to realize the other shore, Nibbana. You need the raft to take you across. After you reach the other shore, you say, this Dhamma that take me across is very important. I must carry it. Means you carry that raft with you. Are you free? You are not free, isn't it? Well, you have too much Dhamma, too much knowledge. And who is carrying it? The thought. Through what? Through memory. True knowledge. And that is not wisdom. Wisdom cannot be described. It's not stored anywhere. Wisdom is an understanding, it's an awakening. The moment you awaken, the form and mind will understand. And it's connected to the form and mind. No need to remember. It's always there. That's the reason why Quang Qing Lao He Sang also give the explanation when he teach. Where his student asked him, what is wisdom? You know how he answered them? He said, wisdom is like that. 对都接受，不对都接受，无论如何都要忍辱。 Then wisdom, when it arrives, the form and mind still don't know one. He still don't know. But when he encounters situation, the form and mind will know what to do one. That is wisdom. 那就是智慧. See? Because wisdom is an understanding, awakening. But when he said that form and mind also don't know, I think he is trying to tell those who are new to enlightenment. Those who are new to enlightenment, they really don't know. Yes, to them, is something happened. They know something happened. But they don't know that this is awakening. This is enlightenment. But when somebody describes the enlightenment or the sutta or what, he will understand. He or she will understand. Oh, then he will know, oh, this is enlightenment. Because he needs words to develop the understanding and all those things. But the understanding is already in the nature, connected to the form and mind. That's the reason why wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not stored anywhere. When the form and mind realize it, awaken to it, it is from the silent mind. Because this form and mind, when it sees without thought, that true mind can insight into phenomena and it will awaken. But because it's connected to the form and mind, this form and mind will know what that thing is because that wisdom is connected to it. That's the reason why I used to tell Yun Chan, you remember? Yoniso Manasikara, wisdom, at the moment of sense, you cannot practice, you cannot learn. You have means you have, you don't have means you don't have. You have to develop the understanding and awakening. Then only you can act in the midst of life. At the moment of sense experience, any time, any place, anywhere, any instant, the moment it arrives, that wisdom will come out. Like what Ng Bi last time went through the first stage. The understanding will come out and you will know what to do. And that is wisdom. So initially you have a glimpse of all these things. You already actually have the understanding, but you didn't know. But when the penetrative cessation comes, the true realization of Nibbana comes, then when the form and mind come out of it, everything becomes very clear. Then that time no need word, technically no need teacher. The form and mind will understand. It can learn by itself, it can understand by itself. The only thing is, if you meet somebody who has developed the cultivation further, it can explain to you many things that allow you to cut short your perfection and your cultivation. That is the only. Otherwise, sooner or later, that form and mind that is connected, technically, he don't need teacher. He will understand by itself all the Dhamma. Okay? So this part, I think, is beautiful. So hopefully you can understand. Then the last sentence, next page, page 279. After listening to the master, Fata weep without even knowing why he weep. But it wasn't because he had been bullied or tricked. Before, he had stupidity. He had stupidly wasted his time reciting the sutta without obtaining the slightest benefit, because he did it without understanding. Now, at the master's explanation, he was so overwhelmed with joy that he burst into tears, just like friends or relatives do when they meet after a long separation. He cried because of his great enlightenment. So this will happen. But you have to have the condition to receive truth. And from the way the sutta go, you know how Fata actually finally have the faith after he was reprimanded because he bowed without sincerity. Sixth patriarch mentioned your head never touched the ground. Because he can feel his nature is still egoic. He still believes Sixth patriarch is an illiterate. And he was with the fifth patriarch not long. So how can he know so many things? He got doubt. But not until when he was reprimanded, he actually can become enlightened if he had met somebody else who had that type of understanding at Sensu's place. He can awaken. He was ready. But because he don't have somebody who have the understanding, that's the reason why I said Sensu at that time, he couldn't compose the poem and realize the true mind was because nobody really pointed out to him. And the fifth patriarch gave him a hint and yet he couldn't penetrate. Because the fifth patriarch didn't, like in Mandarin you say what, draw until, what gong zai, what chut chong, what is the meaning? Means draw until very obvious already, then only you can understand. But he knew, because the sixth patriarch is to be winning because of the condition. So he didn't want to do it for Sensio. But he gave him a chance. He said, come back with another poem. But the hint is very great, you remember? What is the hint that the fifth patriarch gave to Vinay? You are at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to go in. And Sensio just cannot get in. Yeah, he don't understand what the true mind is. You understand? So at the gate of enlightenment, he was using his thought. Using his thought. I'm at the gate of enlightenment and I don't know how to go in. What am I doing? Means I don't know where the door is. Understand? Actually, nothing to do with the door. Because you hold on to the mundane mind, the duality. Then with Hui Ning's poem, he should have become enlightened straight away. You should have known that originally what you are practicing and holding on is the mundane mind. The true mind got none of all this. Understand? Polish until it shines so that no dust can. Who created dust? Originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? The dust needs support. And the support is from the mundane mind that gives meaning. Understand? Where you created one side, the other side arises. So the Buddha said, it must be sati, idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. Where you create defilement. That's why he wants to do away defilement. He wants to practice until he is pure and perfect. There is no such practice. That comes from delusion. That comes from the thought that divide. And when you divide and create, then you want to practice until you transcend. How can you do that? Because you create, you give meaning, and you believe in this, and now you want to do away with this. Like the Buddha, later he explained it in the second stanza. Imas min asati, idang arhoti. When this ceases, that also ceases. Then why you going to create in the first place? You see the point? So creation is thought. That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is thought. Mind is chi. When mind arises, everything arises. The mind right things arise. That's the reason why last time at the retreat I shared with you, from zero come one. Then from one come? That is what the mundane mind is good at. From zero come one. Then one comes infinity. The mind right creation. This is the mind right creation. This is what the conditioned world is all about. Existential world is all about. So this is the first thought of ignorance. That's why in the Surangama Sutta, these are explained. So this one is the true mind, the beginning, the source. True mind. Then, before this true mind is the source, the original nature. Because this one will have to manifest first, the true mind. Just away that nature. But behind is a source. Then from there, it creates. That's why this one creates. Then from the first thought of ignorance, it starts to create the mind right. Creation. That's why the Buddha said, this mind, the moment it arises, this is the mundane mind, it is the forerunner of all things. It creates all things. The phenomenal world. The condition arising all. Everything arises. If you have penetrated the Dhamma, you straight away will appreciate this sentence by the Mahayana teaching. 一切一切唯心造. It is the mind that creates everything. And it's the same meaning as the Buddha's word. But when you put it into English, the mind is the forerunner of all things. The meaning doesn't stand out, understand? Forerunner means what? I'm the first. But people don't get the meaning, no? But 一切一切唯心造, the meaning is very different, no? Everything that arises is created by the mind. Do you understand? That's why without the Mandarin, you are limited in the understanding because the translation limits your understanding. Even when you use the English word, everything is created by the mind. The meaning don't stand up, isn't it? It's different from the Mandarin that 一切一切唯心造. 一切一切 is like everything, isn't it? But the meaning doesn't stand out, understand? Everything is created by the mind. So what? Understand? But the Mandarin one is so different though. 心造成的, understand? Arise from the mind. Well, the meaning is not just created by mind, arise from mind. When mind arises, everything arises. And that word, mind is a forerunner of all things. When you understand, it has meaning. But if you listen to it as a plain English language, you surely are bogey, what I tell you. You cannot appreciate what the teaching is all about. That's the reason why those who know Mandarin, you have this advantage. Like Alicia, she Mandarin educated, so her English no good. Song also English no good. But when they read the Mandarin, they understand very fast. So that is the advantage. But it doesn't mean English educated cannot benefit. I also English educated. But I luckily can understand some Mandarin, limited language. Mandarin because I learn myself. My brothers and sisters all go to Chinese school. They come back, they speak Mandarin. Then I also exposed to Mandarin. And because of that, the past has this very funny connection. Even the very deep Mandarin that Xuan Hua spoke, I can understand because it's the Dhamma. And my wife used to go with me last time when Xuan Hua came to do the recording and all those things. Then when I listen, I only need to ask her the meaning of certain Mandarin word. Then she told me Xuan Hua's Mandarin is China Taiwan, different one, which some of the words she also can't understand. But then, because it was spoken in Dhamma term, my nature can understand. I only need to know the meaning of the word. The moment you explain the meaning of the word, it's just like Hui Ning, the bhikkhuni of that guy, the sister of that merchant, you remember that bhikkhuni? He said, how extraordinary. We had a real cultivator. He's illiterate. But when I explain the sutta to him, he understands. Like that. I doesn't know the word, the Mandarin word, and all those things. But the moment you explain the meaning, I understand. So, how can the understanding be there? Because it's from that nature. In the past, it has developed the cultivation before. Then when this form of mind comes, when the condition is such, when it connects, the moment it connects, it inherits the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is not what you think. It is very different from karmic nature. Karmic nature is all the good and the bad, the summation of it. Every moment, every instant, the form of mind comes. Then it becomes a nature. But this one, spiritual nature, you must have the wisdom, the perfection, then only it gets deposited. I should say, it goes into that nature. Then that nature, when you have a form of mind, connected, then you start to inherit. And when you inherit, surprisingly, I share it in the book two, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. That form and mind that inherit will know one, because it will understand very fast. Then it will go back to your old level where you have cultivated very fast. It's like you pass through the whole of the training in a very short period. And everything that happened, the form and mind connected to that nature, it understands. And the understanding is not a knowledge. And just like the way I share with you all, I never learned this life, all this. Then how did this form and mind know? How did this nature know? Because of that spiritual nature, Sambhogaya Kaya. That one, the moment you connect to the true mind, that true mind connect to the true nature, it has the power to inherit. And when it inherit, the form and mind will go through all this cultivation. It will show it to you. That's the reason why everyone is different. Not two person is the same. Because your cultivation, your perfection, your way is different. Your vow, your affinity, everything is different. And we may say you and all those things, but these are for the conditioned world. Conditioned world has all this. But when you penetrate the unconditioned, all this doesn't exist. He know you, he know me. We are even within the unconditioned. It is anatta. That's why sabbe dhamma, all of dhamma, whether conditioned or unconditioned, they are anatta in nature. Not what you think. Okay? So now we finish, yeah? We can stop here. Then you can have your meditation. Do you have any question? Yeah? Anybody got any question? You got any question or anything you want to make clear, you can ask. We still got about 4-5 minutes before 4:30. Anybody? You just have to put up your hand. Or even last Sunday, regarding the true mind and the mundane mind. Oh, last Sunday one was very good. Oh, last Sunday no class. Got class. Oh, yeah, last Sunday one. That one was very good. So the last Sunday one, you can understand. It will benefit you a lot. It will help you a lot. That was the first time I described very clearly regarding the two mind. Most of the time I just mention it. But last Sunday I explained in very, very detail. And I bring forth the whole structure, connect them all together. I also cannot remember what I said to you, but it's all recorded, luckily recorded. Anybody wants to ask any question? Otherwise you can start your meditation. Then under the Q&A you can still ask. Okay. I will set half an hour. Then you can have your meditation. We are off the light. You can have half an hour meditation.
Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner mindfulness, inner awareness, inner peace, and inner calmness that you have developed. And this is the mind state that you need to stabilize and bring it forth into the daily life so that you can develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue with our next session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question related to the meditation or the Dhamma or whatever that you want to understand with regards to the teaching. Okay, you just raise your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? You have to make use of the condition to ask whatever question that you are not sure. Anybody? Yeah, pass the mic to Sister Padmasri. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Brother Yu and all fellow members. I just would like to report a bit of my
good. Yeah.
Experience in the retreat.
That was very good.
In fact, I went into the retreat after chanting the 4 days of repentance, Liang Huang Bao Chan, to Chao Tu, because of the 7 months. So initially, I thought that this chanting will help me in the retreat to settle in. But surprisingly, the first 3 days during the retreat, this chanting keep coming back and playing in the in my heart area, and energy built up. So I felt this my head part, the back portion. The back portion, there were 2 points there, very painful. And I can't really sit because the chanting keep coming back, playing. So on the, but surprisingly, I slept quite well the first 2 nights. But the 3rd night, I decided to give it a try because we are not allowed to lie down during the daytime. So I did my lying down, I meditate lying down. Because by the 3rd night, I couldn't sleep. My mind was awake. Then after a while, I doze off. Then when I wake up after about 2 hours, I felt my whole body very painful. Then after that, I was wide awake until the next morning, but I wasn't tired. Until the next morning, I wasn't tired, and I was quite surprised that because I hardly sleep that night. But and then after that, during the afternoon, the tiredness sets in. So my question is, is there any way that we can avoid this energy from building up in our body?
Okay, so that is your question.
Thank you, Brother.
Thank you for the question and the sharing. See, more important is you have to understand when you go to any of this retreat or Mahayana activity, like your this particular one, you call it what, Lian Huan Bao Chan. Is it a repentant recitation?
It's a repentant recitation, talking more about
karma, cause and effect.
Okay. So it also ties with the 7 months. Seven months, which is the, they call it the 15th of the Chinese lunar calendar, or popularly translated as Ghost Festival. See, when you go for any of this Mahayana so-called retreat or even ceremony or what they call recitation, you have to understand what is it that you are doing in the name of all this recitation or so-called meditation. Throughout the day, I need to know what do they teach you. What do they teach you?
During the Liang Wang Bao Xiang, it's a sutta. We chant the sutta and bowing.
The sutta is okay, but what I need to know is, what do you do when you report? After that, what do you do? Then, what time you break and all those things? What are your routine?
We go in at 8 o'clock. Then they chant the Great Compassionate Mantra.
Is there any introduction? Did about anybody explain anything to you before they start?
That one we have to read. They told us to read from internet. During the break time, they will play the explanation from some of the like Sen Yin Fa Si and Jing Kong Fa Si. They will tell us what is the meaning of the what is the meaning of this
recitation. Okay, so immediately they start off by having the recitation. And then this recitation is a repeat or what?
It's not repeat, it's for stages, it's in stages.
No, is it a very long recitation?
Yes, it's very long. It took us 4 days from we chant. We
you mean one sutta you chant for 4 days?
Yes, yes.
No repeat?
No repeat, no repetition.
What sutta is it?
Liang Wang Bao Chan. But in between the sutta, after certain part of chanting, we do bowing. We chant the Fo Hao, then we do bowing.
Okay.
Then
okay.
After that, we continue. Then we chant the Fo Hao, yeah. Bowing, then we continue. So the whole chanting took 4 days, the whole sutta. To complete the whole sutta.
Book, your chanting book, how thick?
The one that we are using is a 5 volumes.
Oh, 5 volumes, no wonder. So you chant until the end?
Yes.
Okay. Then in between, you have your?
Now we are allowed to go home and then we...
No. After you chant, every session, how long?
About 45 minutes. Every chanting is 45 minutes, then followed by bowing and chanting the Fo Hao and bowing.
I know. Chanting, bowing for 45 minutes, what you do after that?
Then they give us a break.
How long?
About 20 minutes.
Then you come back again.
You come back.
Do chanting again.
That chanting, bowing, then break, then lunch.
Throughout the day, you just do this?
Yes.
For 4 days?
For 4 days.
Oh, okay. Okay. So with that, maybe I can explain to you very likely what happened to you. You see, when you are there, like I said, you have to understand what you are doing. It's not just attending and follow what people do. Then they tell you, read from the internet first, you read from the internet, but you go there without much understanding, then it will not help you. The first thing you need to inquire is, you are attending certain practices. It could be Mahayana tradition or whatever tradition. To me, it's not important. It's just like the Deng Xiaoping story. Huh? Whether it's a color cat, white cat or black cat or whatever color the cat, not important. Can help me in my progress and the understanding of the cultivation, I use it. Means I'm not going to discriminate. So how can I use it? So I have to listen attentively and find out what is it they are teaching. So if they teach you how to chant, first question I would have asked you is, do you know what are you chanting? Do you know what are you chanting and how to chant?
Yes, it's all Mandarin words.
I know, Mandarin words.
It teaches us
发愿发菩提啊、发菩提心愿。
Okay,
then,
you may know the words. Okay, but when you chant with understanding, how do you chant? You chant with the faith. That is important, because when you understand, your faith can be there. Then when you have the faith, it will drive you to chant with understanding. Chanting with understanding is you chant until that recitation, yeah, and your awareness become one. Then as you do it, the energy will build up, because it's a group chanting, it's a vibration, understand? What you feel to understand is the four support. This four support for awareness-based meditation, you have to remember. The four support for awareness-based meditation. You have to always remember this one. Otherwise, energy will build up. So these four support, the first one is what? What is the first one? Relax into what? Every mind state that arises. So when you are aware, you will know what is going on. You will know whether you are chanting with the faith, sadha, virya, and with the group collective vibration or not. Then as you chant, if the faith is there, it will give rise to an understanding that will give rise to the virya. You are supposed to develop the spiritual faculty. Then when your faith is there, sadha, virya is there, sati is supposed to come up. But instead of sati, all this build up energy, because when you are in a group chanting, as they chant, that vibration will build up energy. Sometimes people who have the faith, the vibration and the virya, sadha virya, will give them the confidence and the faith, and their faith becomes stronger. Then they will chant with more strength. Then as they chant with more strength, they become more and more concentrated in their mind. But if you fail to relax into every mind state that arises, this concentration will build up. That's how you get your problem on the second day. Then you find it very difficult to sleep. Then the pain at the back of your head or what starts to develop. Sometimes it's at the forehead. Then sometimes it's at the wherever energy build up, it depends on the individual. So what happened is, did you relax? Did you relax? This one is very important.
I think I relaxed, but later I realized that I...
You hardly relax, because your
thought... I don't know how to relax.
I know, because your thought create you off the thing. Your thought create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, because this is something that suddenly affect you. You understand? Then when your mind state is disturbed, because this is not what you expect, like you mentioned just now, you expect to benefit from this recitation, from this retreat, but the expectation is not met. So what happened is, you have a effect that affected your ability to rest and sleep, to be aware, to continue, because of the pain that arises at your whatever back of the head or what. So this is what you have to be aware of. When you are aware, you have this sensitivity of mind to know your own mind state. Means you know something has gone wrong. You have not developed the understanding to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If I'm here to train my mind to develop the spiritual faculty, why am I caught in this type of state? Like your question, how can you prevent all this energy from building up.
So the answer is very straightforward. You have already learned the four support. First is relax into all mind state, then maintain. The second support is what? Awareness, maintain awareness. Is it so difficult to maintain awareness? Let them chant. You don't go and chant anymore, understand or not? Then you're just aware of the chanting, the vibration, feel, aware. You don't have to keep on chanting. Unless that faith is very strong, then from inside. Then when you have sadha virya, then this sati become, you chant until all of a sudden, like nobody is chanting, but the awareness and the chanting become one. Then it is like something from inside chanting by itself. The awareness is chanting. Then even if you stop the verbalized word, that thing is still there. It's at your heart area, chanting. But when that thing comes, it's supposed to help you to develop the awareness more. But you don't know what to do. You understand? Because you let the thing go on and it builds up energy and you don't understand. You're supposed to relax into it, lie down and just relax. Forget about what they tell you. Or just sit on a chair at a side or go out for a walk and just feel from your heart the vibration, everything. But the chanting is already inside, like you say. It's chanting by itself, somewhere the heart there. So when that thing happens, you just relax and maintain awareness. Then your mind will settle down without thought. And it will be one with that chanting. That's why no one will be chanting. Then the awareness becomes clear. A clarity that is very different. It's just like Guan Xing Lao He Sang mentioned. When you chant Amitabha, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. You chant until the chanting and the awareness become one. Sing Zai Nian Fo. Sing is the true mind. The true mind and the chanting become one. Then when that thing happens, he said, you will come to a realization. Fo Zai Xin Tou. Because this is the true nature. This is where everything arises and manifests. So you just relax into it and maintain awareness. That's why I say when you are sensitive and you are aware, before all these things happen, the energy build up, you already have the mindfulness. You will feel it. You will feel the vibration. You will feel the sensitivity. Then always remember, relax, aware, and just maintain the awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to let the thought arise and tell you all the fear, worry, anxiety, the doubt. Because when you try to fight the energy build up, when you try to fight the pain or whatever, it's just like you are fighting in the meditation. Then you try all sorts of thought-based way to overcome that thing. Then people teach you, note pain, 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 you go and note. But now you don't note. But you don't know what to do. Because you forgot the four support. The four support is, if the energy is still there, you lie down. When you lie down, it's completely free. Then you don't want to know. Don't want to know means, I just maintain awareness. Awareness means I let my mind be aware of this chanting. Then when this and that move together, you become different. But what happens is you don't even know that you are tired and restless and this thing is affecting you. Because these are mental hindrance, doubt. Then the tactile consciousness that arises, the energy that builds up, actually causes you more and more confusion. Then you didn't even know that you are tired, because this thing prevents you from knowing. So what happens is when you lie down, it gives you condition to actually rest your body and mind. But without you knowing, you went into, like you say, you slept until next morning. Then when you wake up, you mention,
you got aching all over, is it? Pain all over, is it? Correct, right?
I slept only 2 hours. After that, I lie down. I try to do the lying meditation. Then I doze off.
You doze off for 2 hours.
I doze off
but
for
you
about
say
2 hours.
You were awake until the next morning.
Then
tired.
After that, because the body is aching. Then after that,
So that part, luckily you clarified. Yeah, I must have missed out that part. Means you lie down and rest for 2 hours, but you doze off because you couldn't maintain awareness and relax. You cannot develop the awareness. Means you didn't really relax. If you have completely relaxed, then it's different. Well, you relax with awareness, the two support, it will be completely different. Then all this energy will dissipate by itself. You know how it dissipates or not? Well, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Then that vibration, that chanting that is going on, the awareness of it will allow it to dissipate. By itself, it will slow down. Slow down. Well, there is no one thing to know. There is no continuation of mind energy for the chanting to go on. It just relax, silent, and aware, and let things be. Then you will be fully aware and your body rest. Then you will go back to normal mind state. But because you doze off, then actually this one is still moving inside, building. Then luckily you sleep. Well, when you sleep, you shut off your consciousness. When your consciousness more or less shut off, at least the fear, the doubt, the anxiety, all those things will not disturb you like before. So because of that, it is only through the subconscious release that off and on it comes. And very likely, because of that, you couldn't rest long. After 2 hours, you wake up. Then when you wake up, you feel all this pain is because you have been doing that type of bowing, that type of exercise, which caused the bodily ache without you knowing. But that bodily ache will keep you awake until next morning. So what you need to understand from this training or experience that you go through is, you need to understand what is happening when you are attending all this recitation or so-called retreat. Then you must have the understanding to cope with whatever arises. So when you already have the essential Dhamma and the understanding, you just ask yourself, what am I doing here? Why am I chanting? Do I know what all this chanting is all about? If I know that it's to develop the spiritual faculty, then I am focused. Then I develop the spiritual faculty. But as I develop, if energy build up, if I have mindfulness, I will be aware that this one has built up. Then what I need to recall to mind is the four support. I must relax into it. If I find that in the sitting posture I can't relax, then I go for a walk. Understand? Just go for a walk. Or go for a toilet break, then go out and walk. Then relax and let things be. Or go to your room, lie down, relax, and rest. Then if you are very tired, you need to rest your body, let your body recuperate. With full awareness, rest. Don't try to know. If it doze off, let it doze off, but maintain awareness. So that when you doze off, if there is any snoring or what, the very first sound, you will be aware. Then you maintain awareness. And this will go on for quite a while. Because this is the beginning. Ability to hear your snoring is just the beginning, which is good, which is you maintain awareness. Then the awareness, when you are in the sleeping mode or what, when you like doze off, means the awareness and the thing went into that subconscious or unconscious. Then when there is any noise or what that imprint your hearing or your senses, you will hear it because the awareness is there. So you have to maintain that awareness within. Sometimes when you try to be aware, you don't force it. That's why you can allow it to go into the unconscious. If the body wants to sleep, let it sleep. But you maintain awareness. It means very light sleep. You are just aware.
Then sometimes the awareness like go into the unconscious or semi-conscious or subconscious, but your awareness is still there, down there. So any sound, any vibration, especially your snoring, you will be aware. Then the awareness develops until it's very stable. Then every time it's aware, you will become conscious again. And the awareness will start to maintain again. Then until such time, it goes off again. Then the snoring will come again. Then later on, like Elsie went through, you can be continuously aware inside and the body need to snore or need to rest, you will be fully aware of what is going on. Then later on, your subconscious mind state, the dream state, the release and other things, you will be aware. And what movement within the sankhara, you are fully aware. And this stability of mind can come about if you have the sadha, virya, and the understanding to maintain that silent mind. And this silent mind needs to be stabilized until it's very, very stable. Then continue to relax and aware. If your anapanasati is still there, you stay with your anapanasati and let it become very fine, very calm. Then when you go to breathing, you can only be aware of one thing at a time. If you are aware of breathing, you cannot be aware of chanting. If you are aware of chanting, you cannot be aware of breathing. It's either or. Then if your daily mindfulness is already there, you will know how to relax. You will know how to develop the meditation accordingly in whatever posture you are. As you chant, as you walk, or as you bow, you're fully aware. Your focus is not just on meditation alone or chanting alone. You understand? The four postures, every action, every movement, you are aware, body and mind as one. Yeah. But when the faith builds up in the ceremony where you develop the chanting, then you can be fully aware of chanting, provided you know how to do it. So if in this case, what happened is over two days, after the second day, things has developed and built up, but you are not aware and you are not able to understand. So luckily, you share and ask this question so that I can explain to you. Then you can develop the understanding of it. Then you can actually, in future, overcome whatever that you encounter and experience, just like your question. So hopefully, this is something that can help you develop the understanding. Must have the faith. Once you have the faith, you don't worry what happened. Whatever that arise, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. What I need to do is, I need to understand what happened. So to understand what happened is very easy. If I already know the essential Dhamma, these are the few things. Did I relax into it? If you have not, do it. Then can I just maintain awareness? If it still doesn't work, then go for a walk. Go for a relaxed walk. No need to meditate, no need to chant, just maintain awareness, walk. Like a free mind. Then maintain awareness of your action, your movement. Then you can see your mind, you can see your kaya movement. And this is four foundation of mindfulness. You go back to the four foundation. Then you will come back to a very natural state of peacefulness, calmness, relaxed state. And then you want to start the chanting again, you start. But when you start with understanding, then the awareness is there, the faith is there. Then sometimes you like don't want to follow, you just go and read. Read the whatever sutta because you know the Mandarin word. Then you read with understanding. When you read with understanding, when you chant to that part that you understand, your faith becomes different. So it's about developing the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, leading to sati. Then when your sati stabilized, there is samadhi. Then when you have sati and samadhi and the spiritual faculty, you will understand spiritual teaching. Then your mind will insight into phenomena, will awaken. But you have to be patient. You just do. Don't try to know. Relax into it. Aware. Silent. Then just do. Maintain the faith, the sincerity, then persevere.
then everything will unfold and you will understand. And all these problems will go. No matter what energy build up, it cannot build up. Then sometimes if the energy build up but is within your ability to manage, don't be fearful. Experience it. Just like that day I told one of the sisters, I forgot who already, I think Elsie, in the Thursday class. I said, when the stillness, the calmness, the peacefulness become very, very calm, you can stay with it. Because she do anapanasati. Then the energy very, very strong. Then she relax into it. Then it become very calm, very still. I say you can experience it. You can relax into it, silent everything, and experience it. Then you will learn many things. You will go through all this conditioned state, experience all the whatever absorption experience or energy. Where this absorption is much more easier to manage than the one-pointedness. The one-pointedness can lead to a lot of psychic phenomena and problem. And the one-pointedness, the Mara like to come. Because it's like something that draws their attention. They can see when you are doing energy field, thought-based. Because those who do jhana, they can feel each other. Where there is this energy. So with that, I hope the rest also can benefit from this sharing. Okay, is there... let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, I almost forgot. I think a few of them went to Rayong, Acharya Ananda. So, who is it? Manjan, come, share. Polian also share. After Jin Hao also share. PG also go. Oh, PG didn't go. The three of you, yes. Mi Feng share a bit with me. They say you all got very good experience. Very fruitful trip. In Cantonese, it's Tai Ba Sao Wok. Yeah? You know Cantonese or not? Oh, okay. Now Man Yuan will share.
Radio, this is my personal experience which I didn't even share with them.
Wow, very good, very good. Sadhu.
But I don't know what... maybe I just share and you
Me. I will guide you and advise you. It's good,
Because when I was there, I did ask Ajahn Anand. I commented to him that between anger and fear, I have more difficulty in trying to overcome fear. So his answer to me was through a translator that I have fear because I'm afraid of dying. And I may not be able to see it. But that is the reason. And he said that to overcome that, for me to contemplate on death. So the following day, after I think after lunch, I was seated by myself, feeling quite relaxed. And I also have a book with me because earlier in the morning, Yun Chan took us up to the chanting hall and there were cupboards. So I did. Two books with me. So I actually looked at the book and there was a part on contemplation on death.
Marana Nasati.
So I started reading and as I read, I tried to apply it to myself. And at that point in time, I did imagine myself from when I was 3 years old and how I looked at that time. To when I was 7, and then it goes on and on until at my present moment. And then suddenly I realized, because I was holding the book, I look at my own hands. Because I remember how my hand looked like when I was very young. And it was, sorry to say this, really very beautiful. And right now when I look at it, it has lost a lot of those characteristics.
Because of age.
Aging. Because of age.
Yeah.
And then when I see that, and when I look at my hands more deeper, I imagine it eventually drying up.
Yeah.
No more finally. Flesh.
Finally.
Become all bones and.
This is part of the five daily contemplation. First one is birth, then aging. This body of mine has not gone beyond aging. Then disease, sickness, finally death. The third one is death. So when you reflect and contemplate, all this will develop a type of understanding, which will help you in your cultivation. Yeah, as you straighten your view, as you understand, then like the Buddha say, this body of mind is of the nature to decay or grow old, then get sick and one day die, because it's made out of element. It's not me. An element goes the way of nature. This is the body. So your self-delusion, that condition you to cling and hold and grasp onto this body, will cease to be. That's why you can overcome fear and all those things, because you reflected on it. But what you have gone through is just like most of these meditators, especially in Thailand, they go into samadhi or samatha meditation. They visualize their own body in the jhana, going through the decay process, like what you saw, until finally the element disperse, then the decay process. So they thought that one is doing the nine stages of cemetery contemplation. I mean, if that is what you believe, you can do it. But what is important is, what are the teaching that can bring forth the wisdom and the awakening? Is it this thing that the Buddha want you to understand and see? It is not. What the Buddha wants you to understand and see is, your kaya is not real, it's not you. That's why it goes the way of nature, it's impermanent. It will lead to aging, it will lead to affliction, suffering. Then finally, consciousness will separate. No one die, no one sick, no one old. And finally, you will also understand no one born. That this form of mind is conditioned arising, dependent. You're supposed to insight into phenomena in the meditative training to see all this, to awaken to all this. Every aggregate within the five aggregate of form of mind, you're supposed to see them. And that is the real meditation. Not just follow the textbook and try to do all this. So what you go through is okay, because you were in deep contemplation, reflection. Then you reach that point that you mentioned your hand. You have seen it aging. It was so different when you were young. Not only your hand, everybody's hand is like that. But that is not your hand. This is part of the physical form. It goes the way of nature. Then you start to reflect and understand why the Buddha teach you the five daily contemplation. Is to let you wake up to the delusion that this body is not you. It makes our element. Without the consciousness, how can it be you? There is no knowing. Then later on, you go into the consciousness. You have to understand what is this mundane mind all about. Consciousness with its content all about. Then you again investigate. Feeling. Is it me? Is it self? Is it permanent? Then as you meditate, when you feel, you will see how it arises and pass away. Then when it arises and pass away, did you die? If you didn't die, then how can feeling be you? Then how come feeling can be conditioned into pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling? Then you start to understand. These are dependent originating. If my view is wrong, if I perceive things with negativity, then unpleasant feeling will arise. If I perceive with positive craving, then sensual desire will arise. Then I will cling on to the sensual pleasure or pleasant feeling. That's how feeling become craving. Then from craving, you are not mindful, you will condition grasping, clinging, attachment, and all those things.
That's how finally the whole mess of suffering comes to be, where you become that and you take birth and all these things. So this is part and parcel of the teaching. Then you cultivate accordingly, you will see all this in your daily life. Even when you are at Rayo, like what you went through. Okay, I let you continue. After you saw your hand change until, like you say, become dust and all those things, flesh, bone, then dust. What happened after that?
There was a feeling in the heart, like emotional, wanting to cry. And like tears. But it didn't flow out.
Which is good.
It was welling up.
Yeah, about to cry. It's good. You can go through that feeling. It's good. Because you are really contemplating. Then that feeling, that emotion, you are aware of it. Then what else?
Then it kind of stopped by itself before the tears fall.
Okay. Then what happened after that?
Then it just stopped.
So, you got any question regarding this?
I was thinking whether it was me being emotional or...
Why do you want to know all these things? No need to know, understand or not? You have to make use of what happened there to develop the understanding. That's why the same question come about. Wherever you go, whether retreat to Cameron or to my class or to any retreat or spiritual trip, you have to understand, why are you there? What is the purpose of you being there? And what is it that you are developing? So all this is the same. If you listen to all those spiritual trip advice or talk that I give, the first thing you have to do is to maintain mindfulness. From the moment you start, develop the faith, maintain mindfulness, sadha, virya, sati. Then with that type of understanding, your daily mindfulness will be there. Then when you are there, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then strengthen the sati. Because it is a retreat place, it's a way place. And I've been there before. The energy there is very good, very conducive. The vibration is very good. And he got a lot of good disciples too. They actually hold on to their training very well. Where there is a forest tradition. And the place there also, they have their nature. There are a lot of non-humans too. Then there are a lot of very good vibration and energy. So you can have the faith, the sadha virya, you will settle down and you will benefit from it. What about your training there, meditation? I heard you all do some chanting in there. You want to share that? Your Mifong told me a little bit about that chanting thing.
That one is a bit funny.
You can share. Maybe I hear your version.
We actually went up to the Guanyin Temple to chant. So we chanted once, then we all stopped. And then Sue, she was sitting right behind.
The New Zealand Sue.
Yeah.
He said, "You all chant wrongly."
No. She then started chanting the first line. The second time. And when she started to chant, I feel a shiver through my body because I kind of feel that it was not her.
Definitely not her. Because that was the message she received. Then what happened?
Because she chanted, then we all continued chanting the second time. After the second time, we stopped chanting. Again, she started again. But she didn't finish. She only I heard only the first line or second line. Maybe just to get us started.
Not only that, because she English educated. She actually doesn't know how to chant. But there are beings there that want you all to chant, and you have to chant.
Yes, because the day before, she actually told us, to me specifically, that she doesn't know how to chant.
Yeah, she completely doesn't know how to chant. Well, she English educated, but not now. But because the condition came, she has a lot of faith.
And she has been with us on some spiritual trip to Anandagiri. That's why she has participated in some of the chanting before. But whatever it is, I was told later on your chanting improved.
When she was chanting, she was also doing some mudra.
Mudra, yes. Yeah. The mudra came because she has this body that they can make use of. The mudra is for her to, for them to use the body to actually invoke the blessings and other things.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said after that, she said,
it is the mudra's blessing and energy that they want to transmit to you all. Which is good. That's why you all should rejoice. Because when you all go, nobody know how to chant. They grow. You all should have got hold of one or two who know how to chant. But I told Mifeng, why you worry? Your apps. You just download your apps. So many. The great compassionate mantra that Joy used to chant is all in the apps. Just on, then follow. Then even the Heart Sutta is all there. You cannot find apps, you go to brotherteo.com. It's all there also. Just download it. So next time remember, Mifeng said he forgot about the app, unless you don't have Wi-Fi. Then go to a place with Wi-Fi, download, then on it with the handphone. Then you all can chant following that. Okay? Anything else?
Yeah, Sue did say that when she was chanting, she felt a lot of love and compassion.
Yeah. It just come out because somebody made use of her body to do it. Understand? And that mudra and that chanting, if you chant, you understand it, the love and compassion will come out. That is what the great compassionate mantra is all about. Love and compassion. Very good. Anything else?
Maybe I can let the rest.
Okay. Then you pass on. To Jin Hao, Jin Hao.
Good evening, Brother Joe and Hoss. Nothing much to share, but there are a few incidents. There was one afternoon, I was chatting with Miss Su, so she saw the dogs. There's a lot of dogs in the temples. So she said, how lucky is it to be a dog? I mean, and also born in the temple where there's, you know, a lot of cultivators and a lot of good people there. Suddenly, I just thought fresh into my mind. I say, they are adopt. I mean, they are in the temple, but they're constrained by the body and mind. We are, in other way, we are just like them. You see. We are so lucky that we encounter the true Buddha, I mean Buddhism, and then able to cultivate the right way. Yet, if we don't do it sincerely, properly, we are no different from them, you see.
Yeah.
So, this suddenly fresh into mind.
Yeah, the thought came, it dawned upon you.
Another one is like I was helping Dell to sort out the luggage in the airport, and especially Man Yen when she was like need to recheck her luggage again. So I was carrying the luggage to the checking point. So she asked me, "Didn't I feel tired of doing all these things?" So I was appalled, and then again, I contemplate about that. I told her later in the WhatsApp. If I do it from my heart, willingly, I don't feel any tired in my mental. But if I do it with a lot of emotions, reluctance, order, fear, all these things, before I do, I already got a lot of things inside.
Yeah.
So I will feel, you know, tired, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is something I realize that, you know, wise when do certain spiritual things, you see. It might look that I'm very busy, but I don't feel anything inside.
Okay.
All right. So throughout the whole retreat, there are very, very nice places, you see.
Yeah.
Especially the Kuan Yin Hall there.
Yeah.
You know, very easy to settle.
Yeah, you can settle down easily.
And Achan is very, very, very nice to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He treat you all special.
Yes.
I was told by
yes,
him.
Yes, every night.
He like your Malaysian.
Yes, every night, almost every night, he was sitting with us and especially call us out to sit at the Kuan Yin place. See, and night. I mean, over the last night, surprisingly, he gave us each of us Buddha Rupam. You see, asked us to carry home.
Yeah. I think there is a reason. Yeah. Remember, Mifong told me something. Yes, somebody reported something.
I think that the one I let.
Polian. I think Polian reported. Yeah, Polian. Yeah, your turn. So you are the star. The star, what they call reporter.
Good afternoon, Ratu and Kalan Namitas. Actually, the first night itself, Yun Chan always very concerned. So the first night itself, since the chance is there, so I asked why my situation is like this, crying, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
And Ajahn Anand gave the same answer to me, the same as he answered Yun Chan many years ago, meaning to say my mindfulness is poor. So he said, be mindful.
Yes, he keep on stressing mindfulness to you all.
So I actually, listening to the answer, I'm a bit disappointed because I was thinking he would tell me something more, you see.
Yeah.
Because then okay, just leave it. And Yun Chan was asking me to tell him why I can still kernel all those spirit follow me home when I was mindful.
Yeah.
So I consider my in that event I actually mindful because I hold on to the joystick to make prayer. And that was the moment I kernel. So I said, Yun Chan, forget it, like, don't want to ask already. I don't want to ask in public. Then Yun Chan was saying, okay, try see whether I can see him personally. But the chances just didn't turn up, so I just let it be until the final sort of the last night, not the really the last night, where the last night where Ajahn Anand see us. So the condition is like, somehow I can't remember, the questions come near to the area already. So this time Mifung is the one asking me, hey, ask. So I think, okay lah, ask. Condition is really there. So he, this time I'm telling him the story of the cemetery where
I
kernel.
The two spirits that follow you home.
Then he translator telling us the answer is like, ask me to do Buddho. So I ask next question. I say, does it mean when I go to hospital and a funeral, I have to keep Buddho? So this answer, this question actually prompt Ajahn Anand to say, I give you something. So that's how
image, the Buddha image.
Yes, that's how.
To protect you all.
Yeah,
he has charm over them.
So we thought that it's from Ajahn Anand. Actually, the protection things is actually not from Ajahn Anand. It's from another monk. So that's how
But he has it in his temple.
Yes.
He has actually chanted the blessing without you all knowing it. We are all this God is vibrating. You want to, you put up your hand. I thought you want to say something. Yeah, very good. Sadhu. I try to sum up. Because we got only 7 minutes left. Coming back to Man Yuan On, the fear thing. He straight away tell you because you fear of death. Actually, what is your fear? Fear can be many types, not only fear of death. What is it that bother you that arise that fear? Yours is more on career, I think. Where's the mic? No, when you ask the question, between anger and fear, you find it more difficult to manage fear. But what is that fear?
Actually,
I just want you to
actually
explain.
The fear has already died down a lot. So
correct, because you know how to deal, but you comparatively you find that fear is much more difficult to deal with than anger. Yeah? You have managed anger already. When you ask him that question, I remember you mentioned between fear and anger, you find that fear is more difficult to deal with.
I was asking that based on my previous experience because I wanted to know what he can tell me.
Correct. Yeah. So what was your fear at that time?
The fear I was referring to was being laughed at by other people.
More of your career and relationship side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with that, isn't it? That's why he presumed that most people fear of dying. But because I know you, when you came for meditation, you got a lot of career problems. Your pressure, your stress, and people laughing at you and all those things which you reported before. So fear is something, if you don't understand, you will have a lot of problems with. So I want to resolve that. The rest can also learn. What is fear? Fear is a movement of thought. Always remember that. Fear is a movement of thought. I better write it down. Fear is a movement. Of thought. So this movement can trigger of a lot of fear. Fear of the unknown. That is very common. So fear of unknown. Then you got other type of fear. Or being laughed at, like what you went through. Laughed at. Then fear of course, like Ajahn Anand say, fear of death. Then the rest are the whatever reality that the Buddha talk about it. So you will come to a very clear understanding that all of suffering behind, apart from self-delusion and ignorance, is fear. Behind self-delusion and ignorance is fear, fear of something. Because you wanting your way. When you cannot get what you want, the thought project, what happened if that I am, that trigger of fear. But you have to understand, that is not a reality. There is a movement of thought that projects into the future. What if? It's not a reality. Reality is the here and the now. Why must there be fear? You should question and inquire deep. Fear of who? Who fear? What fear? And when you meditate into it, when you silence your mind and stay silent with that fear, what happens? It will cease to be. Because it doesn't have a chance to move when you are aware. Then you come to understand, before I have fear, when you reflect and contemplate, there was no fear. Then how did fear arise? Trigger off by a thought. Do you understand? And the thought always comes from, the doctor say my medical report is like that, like that, like that. Chances of certain disease or cancer. Straight away it projects fear. Where it projects the thought. What if the doctor's result happened to be positive?
See? This is how fear arises. So fear is condition arising, dependent originating. So you perceive thing with negativity, there is fear. Do you understand? Why do you want to perceive thing with duality, positive and negative? Thing is just the way it is. That's why I meditate to see things as they are, to understand the truth and the reality, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. I cannot change. This is truth. This is the reality. This is what is. Like Krishnamurti always used the word, or Vyan Kathy. You cannot fight with the truth, the reality of what is. What is the reality. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. So if I accept, I'm at peace. Then there is no projection, no movement, no fear. Then you just do what you have to do through understanding. That's like acting according to memory is not according acting at all. We have memory trigger of thought. And thought trigger of projection leading to fear. Based on your views, opinion and conditioning. That's why fear arises. Fear is a movement of thought. And thought is respond to memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Oh, the alarm start already. 5:30. Very good. Oh, 6 o'clock, sorry. Must thank my wife. So we finish fear. When you understand fear is condition arising, dependent originating, so don't be deluded. Always remember, fear is not you. You better write this down. Got blue color, huh? Yeah. Fear is not you. Always remember this. Fear is dependent originating, condition arising. It's a movement of thought. When you understand this, you can deal with fear. You can just silence your mind. The very flowering of that vibration, that fear, that fear energy or thought energy, is the very ending of that fear. Fear is not real, it's impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating. And fear is not you. It's just a dependent originating emotion, born of delusion, born of thought projection. You have to reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. Then the moment fear arises, just stay there with awareness. Then the inquiry initially can arise. Very simple. Who fear? What fear? He know you, he know me. It's the thought, through wrong view, through projection, through perceiving things with negativity. That's how fear arises. Then straighten your view. Develop this understanding. Then fear will cease. And this is the most powerful meditation. Otherwise, what he tell you, you won't learn. Then meditate on death, marana. Not to say you cannot benefit. You really know how to meditate on death, it will benefit you. But you will end up with the same conclusion that I realized. Who died? No one died. Understand that? Marana nusati, the intention is different. Not to overcome fear alone. Marana nusati is to develop the urgency of practice. Understand that? But this body will not last forever. Death will come anytime. Don't assume. Average age 75, I will be somewhere around there. It can come anytime. So the urgency of practice is to reflect on the death. When consciousness separate due to condition, this form of mind gone, you cannot practice, you cannot cultivate. You don't stand a chance to awaken, to realize the enlightenment. So a lot of teaching appear good, logical, but it may not point towards the essence. It may not point towards what the Buddha wants to share and teach. So you have to understand, fear is not limited to only fear of death. All fear. That's like Krishnamurti say, the moment you understand, fear ceases.
The moment you don't understand, fear arises. We have fear and delusion is the same. Delusion creates thought projection. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Understand? It's from avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is thought projection, mental activity. That's how it triggers fear. And that fear is a negative attachment. Because this is something you don't want, you push it away. It could be your memory of something, or your thought projection, what if, and all these things. Okay? So with that, we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then regarding Polian's, the spirit follow-on, when you have your five precepts, your virtue, your mindfulness, your understanding, you don't worry. They will not come and disturb you. They only disturb you because in the past, he has a lot of funny thing in the past. But don't worry, past already gone. Don't worry. Understand? But that is the reality. Already gone, finished. From now onward, you move. That's why I say, this moment, why should there be fear? Why should there be suffering? Why should there be anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation? Who created all this? Your thought. Through wrong view, wrong thought. Thought projection. Ignorant, avijja, sakayaditi. Without thought, you are beautiful. But don't go and quote me, brother, you say, without thought, I'm beautiful, so I force myself not to think. You think you can be happy? No, it's wisdom that frees the mind from thinking. Understand? Without wisdom, you will think. Avijja paccaya sankhara will be there. No avijja, no sankhara. That's why without thought, you are beautiful. You are completely free. You understand? And the Dhamma is as simple as this. The moment you understand, you awaken. Finish. No more question. Why you need to do all those funny meditation? You understand? That's why when you have wisdom, it peers through. But all this understanding that I share with you, you think overnight it comes. This nature has been cultivating for very, very long, understand? That's why it comes, it can teach, like Huining, very penetrating, take you to the true mind. So that you can understand very fast. You don't have to go through all the thought-based meditation and waste your time in doing all the method, technique, and all those things, chasing after this, chasing after that. The truth is within. Reverse the light. Like Huining and Shen Hao every time say, Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Reverse the light and shine within. Means with illumination, like Sheng Yan Fa Shi. Silent illumination. Silent without illumination, the awareness, is Samatha. He also know. That's why in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, I read from his book. And I find that very beautiful. Where he teach silent illumination. He said got a few stage you go in on. But it's actually the same thing. Except he used different word, express it differently. He used illumination. So if you are not careful, you think like light illuminate, you go and look for light inside, you finish. Silent with illumination means with awareness, you are aware, understand? Means there is clarity, there is awareness within. That is the true free mind. Otherwise, without illumination, that one is samatha, energy field, concentration, 1.0, no thought. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we do our sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tam anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana ittavatta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo
อิมินาปุญญังกาเมนะมาเมบาลาสมากามโยสัตตังสมากามโหตุยาวานิวานาปัตติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, you can pay your respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Thank you.